Well, I'd like to thank you for joining with me this day to seek God and study His Word a little bit. It's good to be back. We've had some guest speakers at church, and so I've been letting them fill the pulpit, but it's good to be back in the saddle. This message is for May 2 of 2021. It's entitled, Paul Speaks to the People. We're going to dive into the book of Acts, chapter 21, finish that chapter, and then start into chapter 22 and cover the first five verses. So the outline is Paul speaks to the people, number one, their theory, and number two, Paul's testimony. I've been encouraging the brothers and sisters of our fellowship to share their personal testimony publicly. Several have shared their testimony and have experienced God in a new and fresh and wonderful way. Paul is an example that led me to do this with our church. When Paul goes to Jerusalem, he shares his testimony with James, and now he will share his testimony publicly. When Paul stepped into Jerusalem with the disciples, they were gladly received. One by one, Paul related to them the things God had done in their ministry with the Gentiles. Are you detailed with others about what God is doing through your life? Do you talk to people about what God has been and is doing in your life, like Paul does? Remember this, God usually works in you before He works through you. Get that? He normally does something in you before He does something through you. So, what is God doing in you? What is He up to in your life? Are you responding to Him with obedience? Are you consistently glad to surrender to Him? Remember, God is in the business of building character before conduct. God works from the inside out, so He builds character before conduct. Belief before behavior. So what you believe will affect your behavior, changing you before changing others. We're going to start with Acts 21, and I'll read verses 37 to 40 to you. The soldiers were about to take Paul into the fort. Then they asked the commander, "May I say something to you?" "Do you speak Greek?" he replied. "Aren't you the Egyptian who turned some of our people against their leaders? Didn't you lead 4,000 terrorists out into the desert some time ago?" Paul answered, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia. I'm a citizen of an important city. Please, let me speak to the people." The commander told him he could. So Paul stood on the steps and turned towards the crowd. When all of them were quiet, he spoke to them in the Aramaic language. "Brothers and fathers," Paul began, "listen to me now. I want to speak up for myself." When they heard that he was speaking to them in Aramaic, they began to become very quiet. Then Paul said, "I am a Jew. I was born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but grew up here in Jerusalem. I was trained by Gamaliel in the law of our people. I wanted to serve God as much as any of you do today. I hurt the followers of the way of Jesus. I sent many of them to their death. I arrested men and women, threw them into prison. The high priest and the council can give witness to this. I even had some official letters they had written to their friends in Damascus. So when I went there, it was to bring people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished." That's the end of our text for today. The castle, Antioch, was connected to the outer courts of the temple. There were two flights of steps, one on the north side and one on the west side. So, connected to the temple was this barracks, this castle that the Romans lived in. As the soldiers were struggling towards these steps to reach the sanctuary of their own barracks, Paul made that amazing request. He asked the captain if he could be allowed to address the furious mob. Here is Paul exercising his consistent policy of looking his accusers in the face. Paul did not back away or run. He always turned and faced his accusers. So our outline, Paul speaks to the people, number one, their theory. Because of Paul's relationship with Jesus and the rules of the extremist Jews, the city was in an uproar. The captain was amazed to hear cultured Greek accent coming from this man whom the crowd were about to lynch. Somewhere around AD 54, an Egyptian had led a band of desperate men out to the Mount of Olives, with this promise that he could make the walls of Jerusalem fall down in front of them, kind of like Joshua at Jericho. The Romans dealt swiftly and efficiently. Most of his followers died, but he escaped. The captain had thought that Paul was this revolutionary Egyptian who had come back. A on our outline, the soldiers thought Paul was an Egyptian terrorist. The soldiers thought Paul was an Egyptian terrorist. Your two blanks are thought and terrorist. So that's what they were thinking. The Jews were ready to kill Paul, but first he would have to stand trial because of the Roman government. There was an Egyptian radical who led a number of dagger-bearing violent nationalist assassins. We today would label them as terrorists. Dagger-bearing violent assassins. In Acts 21, verse 38, aren't you the Egyptian who turned some of your people against their leaders? Didn't you lead 4,000 terrorists out into the desert some time ago? What they would do is they would conceal daggers in their cloaks. Then they would mix with the crowd, and whenever they could, they would strike. They would sneak up on a Roman and stab him and then slunk off into the crowd. But Paul, when he stated his credentials to the captain, knew that whatever else Paul was, he was no revolutionary thug. So the captain allowed him to speak. B on our outline. Paul could speak Greek, Aramaic, Latin, and Hebrew. Paul could speak Greek, Aramaic, Latin, and Hebrew. And your blank is speak. How many languages can you speak? When I traveled in Europe, I was surprised at how many people could speak 4 or 5 European languages. But most Americans could just speak the American version of English. In that day, Greek was the language of the cultured and the educated. People showing this to the soldiers that Paul was not some liberal, radical terrorist. The New American Standard Bible of Acts 21, verse 40 says this. When he had been given permission, Paul, standing on the stairs, motioned to the people with his hand. And when there was a great hush, he spoke to them in a Hebrew dialect, saying, and that's the end of that scripture section. So there it says, the Hebrew dialect. When Paul turned to speak and made the gesture for silence, it was almost miraculous. A complete silence fell on the roaring mob. I'm thinking that nothing in all the New Testament shows the pure force of Paul's personality as this silence that he commanded from that mob when they were about to lynch him. That shows his strong personality and charisma to the people. This does not mean that Paul spoke Hebrew to them at this time. Hebrew was a dead language. but the Aramaic was the language of the day. So in Acts 22, 1 and 2, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. That's the end of that passage. Paul probably learned Greek as his native language, and then he acquired Aramaic and Hebrew later. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but people didn't really speak it. They read it. Jesus would have spoken Aramaic when he walked the earth. Therefore, the New Testament Gospels were written in Aramaic. But Paul's letters would have been written in Greek because he spoke and worked with the Gentiles. So the Old Testament would have been written in Hebrew, the Gospels would have been written in Aramaic, and Paul's letters would have been written in Greek. As a Roman citizen, he probably knew Latin also. Paul was a well-educated man, but he was also a very deeply spiritual man. That's a combination you don't often see. Most people that are highly educated are not deeply spiritual, and oftentimes deeply spiritual men are not highly educated. So, number two on our outline, Paul's testimony. After a short time, Paul was noticed in the temple where Jesus had worshipped. The Jews stirred up trouble and accused him of breaking their traditions. We all need to be careful not to allow the traditions of men or of any church to override or supersede the truth of God. Maybe someone listening to me needs their comfort zone stirred up. It's quite common for people to have stronger beliefs and stronger bias about traditions and the doctrine of their church than they do their relationship with the true living God. So we need to be on guard that your relationship with Jesus precedes the rules. Relationship before the rules. A on our outline, Paul's life before conversion. Paul's life before his conversion. So your two blanks are before and conversion. Paul was born a Jew. Maybe you are easily irritated or quickly offended like Paul was at that time in his life. If that's true, you could seriously consider, please, laying down your pride, your rules, and your comfort zones, and simply develop a close, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. So what I'm challenging you to do is to lay down your pride, humble yourself, lay down your rules and what you're comfortable with, and simply choose to develop an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus, a spiritual relationship. You see, love is at the core of the gospel, not our rules or our prejudices. God loves all people without partiality. How about you? Do you love people without partiality? We live in a very difficult and divided time in history. I've been saying lately, maybe only the Civil War was our country this divided. But we as believers can express God's love and be a positive influence in our day. There are probably some ideas, rules, or traditions, or biases you have that you need to lay them down. Let go of them and seek the love of God and express the love of God. Be on your outline. Paul was brought up with Jewish beliefs. Paul was brought up with Jewish beliefs. So I have three blanks. Brought up beliefs. Why do I ask you to share about your life and what it's like before your conversion? Why do I ask you to do that when I'm asking you to share your testimony? Where did I get that idea? Well, obviously, I got the idea from Paul. Gamaliel was a famous Jewish sage, known for his great wisdom and his teaching ability. He was highly esteemed. Gamaliel was the most honored rabbi in the first century. He was well known and respected as an expert on religious law and was a voice for moderation. Paul was showing his credentials as a well-educated man trained under a respected Jewish rabbi. So when you think it through, if Paul grew up in Jerusalem and his family was on the island of Tarsus, what happened is he was sent to a Jewish boarding school, probably about the time he was 12, until he became an adult and where we find him now. He was in a Jewish boarding school studying under this amazing teacher. His parents must have had wealth in order for him to be able to do that. See on your outline, Paul was bold in his defending of his Jewish beliefs. Paul was bold in his defending of his Jewish beliefs. So your three blanks are bold defending beliefs. He would be just as bold defending his Christian beliefs as he had been his Jewish beliefs. By saying that at one time he was as zealous for the God as any of his listeners, Paul was acknowledging their sincere motives behind their desire to kill him. He's saying, I was you. Before I experienced the love of God, I was just like you, arresting and trying to kill these people who are followers of the way of Jesus. Paul was recognizing and telling them that he would have done the same thing to Christian leaders just a few years ago. Not that many years ago, he would have been doing this. Paul was showing how zealous he was, that he was willing to put Christians to death. I wonder, how well would you score on a zealous for Christ scale? How well would you score on being zealous for Christ? Not your rules, not your traditions, not your doctrines, but your love of Jesus. Paul always tried to establish a point of contact with his audience before launching into his defense of Christianity. When you or I witness for Christ, first identify yourself with your audience. They will be much more likely to listen if they feel a common bond with you. Paul makes it crystal clear that sharing one's testimony is what we are, like him, to be encouraged and be doing. This may seem odd to you, but I think it's true. Surrendered obedience is a wonderful experience. Surrendered obedience to God is a truly wonderful experience. I'm encouraging you to surrender to God's Holy Spirit. Let go of any fear that you have or pride that holds you back from the love and grace God wants you to experience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a testimony like Paul's. Thank you for your amazing love and kindness for us. Humbly, we bow before you and ask that you would equip us to be like Paul in sharing our testimony, even in the middle of a divided nation like we are, that we could bring love to those who are hating and those who are causing division. Please, for the sake of your Son, would you use us? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
The grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from a raging sea. And I am safe solid ground. The Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun. The Lord is my salvation.
He will call me.